Someday soon, I'd be brave enough to say them aloud, brave enough to truly believe in a real future between us. Come for me. Nash's thrusts picked up in intensity, rattling the headboard. More. Harder. Please. Mercifully, he tightened his grip on my cock, stripping it faster as he hammered me in quick, deep thrusts. That's it. So good for me. His praise was every bit as potent as his hand, and I moaned as my balls tightened. His muscles tensed, tendons in his neck standing out, and his cock spasmed inside me. This was all it took before I was coming to, shouting his name and thrashing back and forth on the bed. Oh, fuck! Nash's voice was so dismayed as he pulled out that I glanced down to make sure the condom hadn't burst. What? We cracked your headboard. He pointed above my shoulder where, sure enough, a long hairline crack marred the dark wood. Finally! I grinned up at him. Bed-breaking achieved. We're awesome! Yeah. We are. He flopped next to me. Fuck, I'm tired. I'll set the alarm. I'll do it. He stayed my hand. No more middle of the night sneaking out. I do have to go home in the morning and change, but I meant it when I said I wasn't going anywhere. I'm in this now. All of it. You sure you're ready for this? Propping myself on my elbow, I peered down at him. He looked sated and sleepy, eyes half closed, not like a conflicted man who was about to run. But I still had to ask. Yep. He tugged me close enough to kiss. Not saying it's going to be easy, but I want to face this together. Together. I echoed before I kissed him back. That sounds nice. Later, I'd need a second shower. Later, he'd have to go home, have to go back to work, face whatever was waiting there. Later, I'd have the social workers. Later, we'd both have family drama. But right then, we had each other, had that kiss, and it was more than enough.
Nash. I woke with the sun coming through the windows of Mason's room. A novelty. And I won't lie, walking home in broad daylight wearing yesterday's uniform was a bit unsettling. But it felt right in a way that little else had all week, barring last night's reunion with Mason. I'd left him a note wishing him luck with the social worker, and inviting him to update me later. I whistled softly as I turned into my drive. Maybe I'd get around to asking Mason if I could keep some clothes at his place, avoid such a blatant walk of shame. But there wasn't that much shame. I loved Mason Hanks, and the truth lifted me up. Of course, I hadn't exactly told him yet, hadn't wanted to spook him. But we were getting there. A new lightness in my heart, I showered and shaved and drove to the station. For the first time, I was looking as forward to the end of the day as I was to the start. I couldn't wait to head home, find out how things had gone for Mason, maybe cook together again. Just knowing I might have those simple things added balance to my day that I hadn't known I needed. My other officer, Locklear, was getting ready to head out as I came in. He gave me an appraising look, one that said he'd probably heard the rumors. But he only nodded at me. Chief, hope you have a slow day. God knows we need it after this week. That's the truth. I gave him a slow and steady look back. He was older than Holmes, more old school, more set in his ways. I was prepared for something, but the confrontation didn't happen. However, as soon as he left, Marta coughed from over at the dispatch desk.
So is it true, Nash Flint? You're breaking your poor father's heart?
I sighed. Should have known this day wouldn't go smooth. He's been dead a long time. Think he's lost the right to an opinion.
Don't you go getting fresh with me. I've known you since you were riding around on his shoulders. And you're a good man. He raised you right. Better than this.
You've always been a friend to the family, Marta. And I'm sorry that being with Mason Hanks is troubling you. But it's a done deal. I was proud of how firm my voice was. I loved Marta like an aunt. But I was done taking judgment about my relationship with Mason. She made a sour face. Trouble isn't the right word. You've worked for the city decades now. There's a good pension with your name on it if you can't abide this.
Why? Nash Flint, are you forcing me out?
She put a hand to her heart. Nope. You're the best I've got, I said honestly. Best damn dispatcher in the county, really. But my personal life's not up for discussion. Or judgment. She made a clucking noise, but returned to her monitor screen.
If that's how you want it.
It is. I'd spent years being concerned that Marta and people like her might turn away from me, and now that it had finally happened, I was surprised by how little I actually cared. What mattered was what Mason and I had together, not what a few narrow-minded people thought. I only wished I'd been able to come around to that way of thinking sooner. The people who truly loved me would accept me for who I was. Not some mythical ideal of the local police chief that even my father hadn't been able to fulfill. Sure, he'd been the quintessential officer. But at what price? All I knew was that it was a price I wasn't willing to pay. As the day dragged on, I started to think about food and was considering a walk over to the tavern when the city hall receptionist banged on the wall.
Chief, your lunch is here.
I couldn't help my smile as I made my way to the front. I didn't miss Marta's snort as I walked by, but I also didn't pay her any mind.
This okay?
Mason stood by the receptionist's desk with two white takeout containers.
I have good news, so I thought I'd bring you lunch before I relieve Adam at the tavern.
Of course, and I want to hear your news. I wasn't going to risk ushering Mason past Marta in her foul mood. So I led him out into the sunshine to one of the benches lining the town square.
You sure about this?
Mason looked around.
For a guy who doesn't like feeling exposed, this is pretty open.
I'm not ashamed to be having lunch with my... I trailed off, not sure exactly what we were now. I knew what I wanted to be, but that didn't mean he wanted the same thing.
Boyfriend?
Both Mason's eyebrows tilted skyward.
Adam and Logan are never going to let me live down snagging Sheriff Sexy.
I'm too old to be a boyfriend, I grumbled, already hating that nickname. I always liked the word partner, though I know it's a bit old-fashioned.
Kind of like you.
Mason leaned in and patted my cheek.
And seriously, you're going to stop it with the old business.
My father was 50 when he had his first stroke. That one was mild, but...
You're not your dad, Mason said firmly. And I fully intend to stuff you full of healthy food and see you live to 100. So none of this I could die first bullshit.
Okay. Duly chastised, I opened the food container. Mason had packed my burger, no tomato, and a side salad. Exactly how I liked it. God, I love you, I said without thinking.
How about you love me for more than my ability to make Logan throw together a lunch?
He laughed, but there was a seriousness there. I can do that. Not caring who might be watching, I reached over and squeezed his hand.
You mean it?
His eyes were liquid and full of hope. I do. I wasn't quite ready to kiss him on the town square, with traffic rolling by and kids playing in the fountain on the other side of the grassy expanse. But I was sorely tempted, and I tugged him closer.
Now, you said you had news.
Yep. He grinned at me. Home study approved. I have to drive to the DHS office to pick her up in a few hours. I get her today.
That's fabulous.
Oh, screw it. Screw everyone. I leaned in for a fast kiss. Let people talk. His answer and smile was worth it. And tomorrow, Dad's likely to be discharged. Lilac can come with me to pick him up. And I know that will cheer them both up. Glad he's doing better. I forced myself to be charitable. He was important to Mason, so that made him someone I needed to respect, no matter my official dealings with him. Is it going to be okay with your friends, you missing so much work? They're being really supportive. I'll be back to normal soon, I hope. And I think they're stoked that Brock called with great news. The investors for the resort are looking at moving ahead. That'll mean more than enough business to keep us going. Good news all around, I agreed, basking in the sunshine of his happy mood. Is it okay if I tell them? About us, I mean? They've heard the rumors, but I haven't confirmed anything. Tell them I love you. This kiss was longer, and my cheeks went hot before I pulled away. And to drop the stupid nickname. I can do that. Mason was as pink as I felt. He didn't say it back, but it was okay. He'd had a huge day. I had no doubt he did love me back, and that was what mattered. The day was sunny and full of promise, and I was happy and grateful to be there in the center of town, sharing it with my guy.
Mason. The lunch rush had almost passed, and I had about an hour before I needed to pick up Lilac from the summer day camp I'd enrolled her in. My dad was helping where he could, but it was going to be a while before he was back to full strength.
"Well, look at that! Sheriff Sexy brought a crowd!"
Adam called back to the kitchen where I was prepping salads for a group of female tourists.
"Stop calling him that!"
In the week or so since we'd started openly seeing each other, Logan and Adam had been merciless with the teasing.
"Would Grandpa work better?"
Logan asked, his eyes dancing.
"Shut up."
I grabbed the finished salads and delivered them to the table of ladies in the back before heading to the front to see who Nash had brought. He and Curtis had been in a few nights ago. Curtis teasing me as much as my own friends, which was strangely nice.
"Whoa!"
I pulled up short when I got a good look at Nash's table. I'd momentarily forgotten, in the rush of the morning, that today was the day his mother was coming to town, but there she was, sitting across from Nash, and looking none too happy about it. Tricia, Nash's sister, was there along with two kids who looked around Lilac's age. The adults had menus, and the kids were spitting straw wrappers at each other.
"You want me to take the table?"
Adam came up behind me. Fuck. I was standing there, staring, and that wouldn't do.
"No, I'm going."
I grumbled.
"Could have warned me better."
"Ah, come on," he whispered, "and miss all this meeting the family fun? You want to keep sleeping with Sheriff?"
"Be quiet."
I gave him a death glare as I grabbed crayons and two of the new kids' menus that Lilac had helped me design. I'd done the menus on the library copier when I'd taken her to stock up on books.
"Mason."
Nash's smile was a bit more tense than the one he'd given me last night when we'd stolen a few kisses after Lilac fell asleep.
"I've been raving about your food the last few hours. This is my family. Mom, Tricia, this is Mason."
Tricia gave me a polite smile and offered me her hand. Like Nash and his mother, she was tall and had hazel eyes. She had a very Portland soccer mom vibe with highlighted hair, sandals, and utilitarian clothing that looked like it was from an REI catalog.
"Nash said you can handle food allergies. The naturopath has Jeff off gluten and eggs right now."
"Of course. I've got gluten-free burger buns, and I'll make a note about the egg allergy, too."
"It's not just your food that Nash can't shut up about."
Her eyes twinkled. and my shoulders unkinked a bit. At least some of Nash's family wouldn't be openly hostile. I could deal with an interfering sister much easier than the glare coming from his mother. "He says you've got custody of your niece? Think she'd want to play with Jeff and Andrea later? I could use someone to run them ragged so they actually sleep tonight." I hadn't expected the offer, and my sinuses burned. Too many freaking emotions the last few weeks. That would be nice, thanks. She'd love that. "And I can grill you while they play." Her tone was light, and I found myself looking forward to getting to know her. She'd been older than me in school by several years and went to Portland for college and then stayed thereafter, so I didn't have many memories of her younger self. It would be nice for Nash to have an ally, too, especially given his mother's sour expression. She kept glancing around like a drag show was about to bust out of the kitchen. "You want your usual?" I asked Nash while glancing at her. "See? I know him. Know what he likes and doesn't, and how to take care of him." "Yep." Nash's smile this time was more genuine.
"But throw on an order of fries. I'll split with the kids. It's a good day to splurge."
Yes. Yes, it was. I smiled back at him, happy to finally be able to let some of my affection show. Tricia ordered gluten-free burgers for the kids and the Cobb salad off the specials board for herself. His mother very grudgingly got hot tea and a side salad, no dressing, still not meeting my eyes. Oh, well. Maybe eventually that ice would thaw. I hoped so, for Nash's sake, but I was prepared to deal either way. My own family was hardly warming to the idea of Nash, my dad acting like I decided to join the circus for all the support he was offering. He'd undoubtedly be happier if I took up with a Hell's Angel instead of a law enforcement guy, but whatever. I was done putting my family ahead of myself. I had to make Lilac and my future my priority. If anyone had a problem with that, too bad. Hours later, I sat on Nash's back porch step, watching the kids play some complicated game involving a magic ball, a pile of stuffed animals, and a lot of running around. It was a gorgeous late summer night, warm with a strong breeze off the coast, and a pink sunset in the distance. "I'm getting more iced tea." Tricia pushed herself off the swing. Nash's mother had long since gone to lie down, pleading a headache. "You guys need anything?"
"Nope."
We answered at the same time, and I laughed.
"You okay?"
Nash asked as soon as the door closed behind her.
"This isn't too weird."
"Not weird at all." I scooted closer to him on the step. "I like her. And the kids. And she clearly loves you."
"Yeah. She does."
Nash rubbed his face, eyes not quite convinced. "And I love you, too." I added lightly, but my heart still pounded. "We've got that in common."
"Do you now?"
A wide smile broke across Nash's face, and his eyes promised a thorough kissing as soon as we didn't have the pint-sized audience. "I do. Sorry it took me forever to say it. This all feels like a dream, like I can't believe we're actually here, together."
"Doesn't feel like a dream to me."
Nash shook his head.
"Feels more like this was inevitable, even from our first conversation. Like we've been building to this. And now here we are. And it's nowhere near as scary as I'd feared."
"I'm glad." Taking a chance, I reached for his hand. Neither of us had exactly trotted out the PDA all day, and I was desperate to touch him. He took it, squeezing my fingers lightly.
"I want more of this."
With his free hand, Nash gestured at the yard.
"More nights like this. More time with you and Lilac. I want the long haul, Mason."
Me too. I had to bite my lip to keep from getting all emotional again. Our eyes met, and I swore I could see our future, not smooth and calm, but bumpy and unpredictable. And ours. We'd face whatever it brought. Together.
27. Mason. 4 months later.
The wind howled and whipped the tree branches outside the house, rattling the windows in the sort of late fall storm I'd actually missed a bit in my years away from the coast. The sea had been roiling on my drive back from the county seat with lilac earlier. I was digging in the bedroom closet when the sound of the front door and heavy footsteps cut past the wind noise.
What are you doing?
Nash came up behind me. It's cold tonight. I've got an electric blanket in here somewhere. I reached past my dress clothes, the spare uniforms Nash kept here, and the stash of holiday presents we already had going for Lilac. Nash had proved to be even worse than me, arriving twice recently with a little something for Christmas. Lilac was going to be thrilled with this year's Santa haul, and I couldn't wait for Nash to share it with us. Here it is.
I can keep you warm.
Nash wrapped me up in a hug, pulling my back to his front.
Oh? You staying?
I tried to sound disinterested and not pathetically grateful. Lately, he'd been here more nights than at his place, and no blanket was a match for Nash's warm bulk in my bed.
Yeah.
Nash plucked the blanket from me, tossing it on the bed before turning me to face him. Deep lines bracketed his mouth, and I could tell from his cloudy eyes that it had been a long, hard day.
That okay?
Always. I gave him a slow kiss. There's food for you in the fridge.
Later.
He broke away enough to start unbuttoning his uniform. Yep, it had been a long day indeed, and maybe later he'd tell me about it, but I knew what he needed now. I spread out the blanket and plugged it in while he stripped down to the black boxer briefs I'd gotten for him on my last trip to Portland. He looked damn sexy, but I reined in my ogling as I locked the bedroom door before removing my own clothes. He was already under the covers when I slipped in, and he gathered me close, burying his face in my neck, breathing deep.
Bad day?
I whispered.
Not so bad now.
He squeezed me tighter, his shaky words calling him a liar.
Okay. Maybe a little. But this helps.
I'm glad. I snuggled closer, trying to give him the contact he needed to recenter himself.
Tell me about your day,
he ordered, still breathing me in.
Business good? How was the DHS meeting?
Business is slow with tourist season done, but we're doing okay. Logan's got white chili on the menu tomorrow. You might like that.
If it calms down, I'll stop by.
His hands smoothed down my ribs.
And the court stuff?
I sighed. I knew he wanted a distraction, but I wasn't sure if this was it. DHS is still working on the concurrent plan with me. There will be a review hearing in the spring. Jimmy's still waiting for trial. Chester, too. Chances are high that Chester takes a plea deal on the vandalism charges to testify against Jimmy if Jimmy won't plead guilty. At least with the two of them off the streets, the vandalism had stopped and businesses had been able to relax, focus on the good news about the resort and the success of our group ads. I wasn't ever going to be okay with Jimmy's behavior, or the fact that we shared blood. But moving forward with my big plans felt like the right path. Maybe Jimmy couldn't appreciate what we were trying to build here, but plenty could. Francine's plea bargain was accepted, but she'll be in prison at least the next 2 years. So it looks like Lilac's with me for the foreseeable future.
Excellent.
Nash's voice was firm.
You're good for her. That's the best outcome right now. And I know the court will agree.
You don't mind? I know getting me plus a kid wasn't exactly in your plans.
You're a package deal. I get it.
Nash squeezed me closer, dropping a kiss on my shoulder.
And I've been wanting to talk to you about that, actually.
Oh?
Think the social worker would work with you if you wanted to file a change of address?
Change of address? My heart thudded against my ribs, and I was sure he was able to feel it.
Yeah. My place is bigger, and it's empty most of the time. Seems a shame. It's less drafty than this place, and I've got the wood stove for winter, and my bathroom's better.
That it is. I managed to say around holding my breath.
I was thinking we could look at Trisha's old room, have Lilac pick out the paint colors, maybe get her some new furniture for it. Then we can let the social workers come have a look, see if they're good with the move.
I'm sure they would be. My voice came out all rough.
But is that what you really want? More than anything.
He pressed another kiss to the back of my neck.
I'm too old.
Nuh-uh. I corrected him.
For this back-and-forth business. I want you in my bed every night. Want you in my life. I've waited too long for someone like you, and I don't want to wait any more for a life with you.
I do like your kitchen. I had to make a joke before the moisture in my eyes escaped.
And it likes you.
Rolling us, Nash looked down at me with serious eyes.
Way I figure it, it's past time to turn the old house into a real home again. And that's going to take you and Lilac.
You sure this isn't just a bad day talking? I reached up and stroked his face.
We can take it slow. No day is truly bad when I've got you at the end of it.
Nash brushed a fast kiss across my lips.
And I took it slow for 40 damn years. As long as you're on board, I'm ready for this.
I'm on board, I whispered. I love you. It was still hard for me to get the words out, to trust that I was really here in this place with this man, that this was my life now. But there was no greater thrill than when he answered me.
Love you too, Mason. So much.
And then we were kissing, and I didn't even bother trying to cover my damp cheeks. It had been a hard few months. All the stuff with Lilac and my family certainly hadn't helped, and Nash was deciding what it meant to be out. I'd been right that most people didn't care, but a few did, and I knew that rankled him more than he liked. But we were here now, closer than ever with this next phase to look forward to. I hoped we could get the social worker's approval quickly. I wanted a Christmas tree in Nash's front room, wanted to teach him how to make gingerbread in his big kitchen, wanted to move Lilac into a room we'd made perfect for her. I wanted it all. And I wanted it with Nash. And for the first time, I really believed I was going to get it. We really were stronger as a couple, and as our kisses heated up and my cheeks went from wet to flushed, my heart surged ahead to that shared future. Our bodies were making promises that I knew our hearts would keep, and I couldn't wait to watch it all unfold. Together. This concludes Trust with a Chaser by Annabeth Albert. Narrated by Mark Bachman and Iggy Toma. Copyright 2017 by Annabeth Albert. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Annabeth Albert, care of the Knight Agency, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.